Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. It's so blessed to be with you again. Question for you. Are we truly living in what the Bible calls the last days? If so, what should we be looking for? What should we be doing? What will be the signs that time's almost up? You know, the Bible actually says that everyone living in the last days will think everything is going along just great. And then in the blink of an eye, everything will change. Well, could we be at the blinking point right now? Joining me today and help to answer that question is my good friend, fellow Kingdom Voice, Scott Wright, host of the God Center Concepts podcast. And we're going to explore these questions and more and how it all connects to today's headlines. Amen. So get ready. This is going to be a great session. Help me welcome back to the program, Scott Wright. Scott, welcome back. I've been looking forward to this discussion today.
Hey, I'm just grateful to be here and looking forward to another fun, fruitful discussion.
Amen. Amen. Last time we got together to try and talk about this, the devil went into the details, but he's a liar and God is victorious every time. So Amen. Here we are ready to do it again. So let's jump right into this.
Let's Amen. Do it.
Paul wrote that the day of the Lord would come like a thief in the night. Well, what exactly did he mean by that? And how does that relate to the comfort and complacency that people might be living in during the end times?
Well, I think the problem that we're facing right now is that everything is so easy that people are forgetting their need for God. And that's really what I believe a lot of this is based on. I mean, when Paul's writing this, he's envisioning a society that absolutely doesn't need, they don't only need each other, but they don't need God either. And modern technology has made it that we literally can live on our own without any help. And that's not how God designed us. And it's certainly not how he designed us was for us to live apart from him. He wants us mm-hmm. to depend on him and to express that need for him and then to pursue him in that need. And people don't have to do that anymore. And I believe that that's the day and age we're living in, and it's getting even more so, especially with AI technology. Well, guess what? Now, here we are, we're looking at this verse, and this verse is starting to come to life, is what's happening.
Yeah.
Right before our very eyes.
Why do you think Paul and Peter, two very different apostles, chose the same imagery of a thief in the night to describe Jesus' return? I mean, what's the spiritual significance behind that metaphor?
Well, the spiritual significance is that God's going to come and everything's going to change. Because think about it. When a thief takes things in a house, those things are gone forever. And there's a complete change. Something's, you know, a lot of things have changed. The life you had is over. That feeling of security is gone because now you know you're not necessarily safe. And the thing is when the Lord comes and this happens, then you're not going to feel safe anymore. And that false sense of security is going to be gone. It's an illusion. Let's just face it. Guys, safety and security in this world is an illusion. Your money cannot keep you 100% safe. Your walls and your fortress cannot. Eventually, even if you live out your normal life expectancy, eventually old age and time are going to get you. Yeah. You are not going to escape death. It's just not going to happen. You're either going to die or at some point you're going to be raptured. Yeah. There's no in between. I mean, that's it. That's the only options. There's no other. There's no other option. There's no in between. There's no other answer here. And so that thief in the night can apply to at any age in some ways, you know, just in a general sense, because it creeps up on you. You know, all of a sudden you have a disease, you have cancer, you have something, and there's no, you know, there's no cure for it. It's, you know, eventually it's going to, you know, take your life, or you die suddenly in a crash, or, you know, some kind of accident, or, you know, somebody has a heart attack, or the Lord comes back. Yeah. And that, which is obviously what this is referring to directly, but what it is people are going to feel safe and secure, and then boom, it's going to happen, and that's going to be gone, and it's never going to return, not at least as the world is now, in the shape it is, without the Lord being reigning over the earth as king, manifesting right here. Okay, so that's the thing, and of course that kingdom will last 1,000 years, and we know that that's going to come down the road, but the end's got to come first before all that happens.
Yeah, in 1 Thessalonians, I think chapter 5, Paul mentions people saying peace and safety, and then sudden destruction comes. In light of current world events and things happening all over the world right now, how do you interpret that in light of the current world events?
Well, if you look at what's going on all over the globe, we've got countries. I mean, we've got trade wars going on. We have physical wars going on. We've got economic wars, which are a part of those trade wars. We've got companies almost warring with countries, and countries warring with companies. I mean, it's a whole hodgepodge of all these different factions trying to get control. That's really what it is. What we're also seeing is we're seeing AI start taking control of every country in its own way. Every country, every company is trying to utilize AI. Not realizing or not caring. And at some point it's going to be because they don't care. They're just trying to get their name to be the one in power. But AI is becoming more and more dominant almost monthly. It is. And it's changing rapidly. It's starting to learn how to think for itself. And you've had people on to talk about AI before yourself. And I've heard a few of those speakers, and I've heard some of those speakers on other podcasts as well. And they're saying the same thing. It's dangerous where it's going. Yeah. And Amen. We've talked, and you and I have talked about some of that in detail, but what's happening is we're seeing that type of control take over. Yeah. And it's going to be able to provide a certain safety and security is what's going to happen. Or we'll just say a false illusion of security.
Right.
It's going to be a false illusion. It's a false security. And then all of a sudden, boom, it happens. If the destruction happens. And I think in light of the events that's happening, I think this AI thing is going to be the answer that people think that they're looking for to resolve all these conflicts and confrontations that are going on globally. And when they turn to that, that's going to allow it to be even more dominant in everybody's lives. And as people turn to that to get that false safety, that false security, then everything's going to start to come into play that we see in the book of Revelation. And we're also going to eventually see the Lord come at some point in all of this. And then that's peace and security is going to completely be gone. I mean, if you want to talk about a rapture and that rapture happening, imagine that. Imagine that many people disappearing at one time. You know, imagine two of those pilots in a plane that disappear. Plane goes down and crashing in the middle of the city, and cars all of a sudden don't have drivers, and that we're having drivers, although we got driverless cars now. But you know, all these type of things happening, you talk about taking away safety, peace, and security.
Yeah,
I mean,
amen.
That would scare people, and they wouldn't know what to do with that.
So Jesus said in Luke 17 that the days before his return would be like the days of Noah, the days of Lot. You know, everyone's eating, drinking, buying, selling, just life as usual. Why is that false sense of normalcy such a dangerous sign?
Well, it's, you know, it's the same thing. we human beings get used to and comfortable with things being a certain way. And it doesn't matter what they are. It doesn't have to be rational, right or wrong. I mean, it's, you know, in its own self, it's neutral. But once people get comfortable with that particular idea, then they just live in it. Doesn't matter if it's opposing God or for God. And unfortunately, the way things are getting, everything is getting comfortable, and it's just going to continue down that path. And the enemy has figured out that once you get human beings comfortable, they'll buy and do anything to mm-hmm. stay comfortable. Yeah. They will. I mean, they will. They literally worship worship convenience and comfort over God.
Yeah.
I mean look, that's exactly
COVID, or during COVID, say when churches were forced to shut down and all that, and many churches just had to close permanently. And a lot of churches haven't seen the return of people at the levels that it was, because people got used to staying home, as you're talking about. You know, they used to being studying online and all this. So, you know, they're like, why should I have to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning, you know, get all the kids ready and everything like that, and go out to church, come back about 12:30, and then fix it. We can just turn the computer on and listen to the pastor talk in our jammies. Let the kids sleep in. Give us that extra 2 hours of peace and quiet, you know, stuff like that. So, that convenience, I mean, it's there. Do you believe the church today, speaking about that, is spiritually awake and watching? Or have many believers fallen into that complacency that Paul warned about? And how can we be sure we're truly ready for the return of Jesus?
Well, we are living in the age of the Church of Laodicea, and Jesus explains that pretty handily. I think most of the church right now is asleep. I think they think they're fine, watching their service and, you know, maybe attending a Bible study here and there, but that's it. You know, they're checking their God box, and then they're just living how they choose. And the truth is that going to church, reading the Bible, is really just part of helping you stay spiritually healthy to walk with Christ when you're not doing those things. Because think about it, a Bible study and church service, that's like 2% of your time.
Yeah.
So how is that leading to the other 98% of the time? How's that leading you to live? How are you following Christ in that? So if you're not following Christ and living in the other 98%, what good is that 2% doing you?
Yeah.
And so
exactly.
Which is why I talk a lot about people don't just need Bible studies and church, they need discipleship. Because discipleship brings accountability, and accountability is how you change. You cannot change without accountability. If you want to understand the power of accountability, listen to this one guy speak a lot. His name is Nick Saban. He was the University of Alabama head coach for, 16, 17 years? They won, I think, 6 national championships or so. I think he's won 7. Accountability was at the very core of his philosophy with kids and how he worked with them and his coaches and everybody holding each other accountable all the time. And of course he held everybody accountable pretty strictly, but his teams performed at a high level almost every game. His records in his championships, that's unprecedented, and accountability was at the very core of his process. And it's at the very core of his teaching. Well, guess what? Discipleship, I'm not saying we have to be accountable, have accountability of that level of intensity with the anger and the, you know, really pushing people, but there needs to be accountability, and discipleship is where it comes from. And so when Jesus is speaking to this church, he's really speaking about the lack of discipleship and accountability, because he digs in hard on that if you get into verse 18 and 19.
Yeah. Well, some say that the warnings about the end times are just fear tactics, you know, while others see them as, you know, wake-up calls. But how do you approach teaching these scriptures in a way that prepares people rather than scares people?
Right. That's a great, and that is a great way to put it. So the discipleship series we're writing that I'm writing right now is doing just that. And of course I have my own discipleship groups that I lead, doing these things, and they're all saying that the information and the way we're presenting it is invaluable. And what it is that we have to teach people what discipleship is, and then we have to teach them how to walk through it themselves, and remembering that truly who disciples you is the Holy Spirit. You know, the person leading is a part of that accountability process for sure, but it's really the Holy Spirit, and it's learning how to be in tune with the Holy Spirit that will push you, that will keep you accountable. I will tell you, one of the most dangerous things is when you do something wrong and you don't feel any conviction or any leading to walk away from that wrongdoing.
Yeah, exactly.
That is the most dangerous sign. And I see that across so many people. To them, everything is time is money, and it's just about getting to the next thing all the time. But with God, God doesn't operate that way. We have to slow down, and we have to spend time with Him, and we have to let Him examine our hearts constantly. The Holy Spirit will bring you the highest form of accountability. And going through a discipleship process of that is so important. I mean, you know, hey, you look at a group like, say, AA. I mean, look at the level of accountability they have. And I'm not saying every person's successful, and some people walk away from it, but you can't argue with their success on helping people not do those things again anymore, whether it's drugs or alcohol or whatever type of things that they're addicted to. But here's the problem. You have to be willing to step into that process.
Yeah.
And discipleship is the heart of the gospel. And I have to throw that in here because Jesus left us a model of discipleship. That's how the church is really supposed to operate. So ask yourself this question. Is the church itself, does it have a true discipleship plan? You should almost be, the church should almost be training you almost like a missionary.
Well, you are. You're a missionary to your own circle of influence.
Exactly. It doesn't matter if I'm being sent to a foreign country or if I'm doing it in my own area. You are to lead others to Christ and disciple them. That's what you're supposed to grow into. Because, you know, we don't want to take a lamp and then cover it with a towel. We want that light to shine bright because it's the light of the Lord. And so it should be our goal to be discipled and to disciple.
Amen.
We need that accountability.
And if Jesus could return at any moment, He can, as both Paul and Peter warn, what should that sense of urgency produce in us as believers, both in how we live and how we reach others?
Well, we know the clock is ticking. You know, we're trying to not only build eternal rewards, but we also have to think of it like this. And this is just a truthful way to think of it. If somebody does not accept Christ and they pass away, they do not go to heaven. And that is eternal. Okay. That means they will have spent 10,000 years in that place and not have one less second to spend than when they started. I want you to think of it that way. You know, our life is, we're lucky if we get 80 years. Okay. And sometimes I'm not sure it's lucky, but, or you know, maybe it's better if we go a little earlier, right? And not have to suffer some of the things you suffer in old age. But here's the truth. Human life, if this was the total culminating point of everything for me, then I think that's pretty sad.
Yeah.
Just in a general sense, I would hope that this is not the most culminating point of all of life, like the highest level, the highest point that I'm ever going to get to. Because if so, it's pretty sad.
Yeah.
To think of what the world is and how sinful the world is and what an evil direction the world walks. And it has been ever since Adam and Eve sinned. I mean, it has. It's been heading that way the entire time. I mean, God's already had to destroy the earth once or reshape it anyway. and barely, yep. you know, saved just a few human beings. But here's the thing. This sense of urgency should be created by that thought alone. And to think that that clock is ticking, once the Lord returns, that's it.
That's it.
I mean, it's like you cut a line, and whatever was going on up to that moment, they had that opportunity. After that moment, it all changes in the blinking of an eye, like a thief in the night, going right back to our theme for the show. It changes that quick, and it's not going to be the same at all. And think about this. If it is a rapture, then the church is going to be removed. How many people are actually going to be talking about the Lord? Here's what I think. If you go back, what did he do when there were all these issues in Rome? He blamed the Christians, didn't he? Mm-hmm. And started burning them and killing them. Guess what? What do you think when a rapture happens? Who do you think is going to get blamed?
Oh, that's right.
The Christian. That's so right. Becoming a Christian after something like that happens is not going to be pleasant until Jesus just comes back and takes over his 1,000 and reign of the earth.
Amen.
So there's going to be a period of time that's going to be a dangerous thing.
It's called the 7 years.
Yep. The tribulation. There's a tribulation there. So, you know, a lot of us believe that the rapture will happen at the beginning of that, but it could happen in the middle. It could happen during. I mean, we don't know. All right. So, but I can tell you right now, some event like that will be blamed most likely on the Christians. And I would not be shocked if it's mid-trib, because it's going to be peaceful for a while. And then think about this. You have a rapture. I could see the Antichrist blaming the Christians and the Jews. Because guess what? They've been blamed together before.
Oh, yeah.
It's almost like it's a precursor to what's coming. And we know that the last half of that tribulation, the Jews are going to be running. I mean, they're going to be running to escape. So it's not going to be,
Amen.
It's going to be a horrible thing.
Amen. Well, Scott, all this has been so interesting, and I know people have some questions. How can they get in touch with you?
Hey, just all you got to do is email me at tswright@ghnglobal.net. And you can get a hold of me there. And then, of course, Bob and I are going to have in our next episode some very interesting news to share.
Amen.
So, but you're going to have to tune in and come back to this.
That's right. Amen. We'll be coming up here shortly.
Exactly.
I'll put links, all this down in the show notes below. Folks, drop down into the show notes. Click the links that are right there. Get in touch with Scott Wright. And as you can tell, his knowledge of the scriptures and understanding of the end times are outstanding. And pick his brain, praise God. Hallelujah. Scott. We're all out of time for today, and I appreciate you coming back on the program, brother, and I'm looking forward to the next episode.
I'm dying right now. I'm looking forward to it as well, my friend, and you have a blessed day.
Amen. Folks, that's all the time we have for today. For Scott Wright, myself, Pastor Bob reminding you to be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.